Did you think you'd be hearing a holiday ad this early? Beat the rush with Minted, your destination for unique holiday cards, gifts, and seasonal decor from independent artists. Use code PODCAST for 20% off your order.
From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself.
Mmm.
To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, Thatching Larkin is back with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach. And we are talking about, well, I assume olive oil, because there's four massive jars of it here.
There's a myriad of olive oil around, yes. And a smell and an aroma
bottles?
Of olive oil.
They're bottles, they're not jars.
They are bottles, yes, they are bottles. They're not amphora. Like the classic Greeks would have had, you know, those terracotta pots.
Yeah, so where is that, where you're going back to, that part of the world and that
way
period?
Back, oh, like right. Way back. 8,000 BC, it was harvesting of olives. That kind of started. 4,000 BC, we saw it in kind of the Levant region, Syria, Lebanon, Jerusalem, then into Turkey, into Greece, into Spain. Romans then, kind of Middle Eastern times, olive oil production kind of stopped a little bit. And then it went down to Andalusia, the Moors, down into Spain, and that resurgence of creating olive oil happened again. And the Spanish are actually the top global producers of olive oil.
Are they?
In the world. They produce about 44% of all of the olive oil in the world.
And because I would have imagined, yeah, it would have come from somewhere kind of slightly more eastern than southern Spain. So that's where we're getting it. And like, are there kind of rules then about what is real olive oil, what counts, or how you decide what it is?
There is. And actually, Europol have been involved in like these major kind of olive oil scams that have appeared kind of since 2023. So with that really bad weather, 2023, that really affected the supply of olive oil. So olive oil is not like wine where you buy it, you store it, you mature it. It's real kind of supply and demand. There has to be fresh supply coming into the market all of the time, because it lasts only for a certain amount of time. So that really bad weather kind of brought, it really damaged the stocks and the supply of the olive oil that we had. So what happened was there was this kind of mixing or cutting of olive oil, blending of olive oil. So we would
What were they blending it with?
Seed oil. Other seed oil. So I've actually brought a seed oil for us to taste later on, and we're going to taste some olive oil.
Okay.
But it's so bland. It's so colourless. It's so bland. And what they were doing, like, they're so, I suppose, thoughtful about how they did it. You know, olive oil traditionally is kind of a little bit of a greeny colour, a bit of a yellowy colour.
Yeah.
They were putting chlorophyll and carotenoids in to give it the colour. So chlorophyll was giving it a green colour, carotenoids were giving it this yellow colour. And it was ridiculous that they were going to those lengths. But there was people arrested. Then there was a lot of restaurants in Rome that were involved. And it was all a big furore, basically, about the scams of olive oil. So they've gone to the point now of putting QR codes on the bottles, blockchaining, where they're actually like tracking the data of the olives to the tree, to the grove, to the harvesting, to the filtration, to the bottling, so that you can track your olive oil production the whole way through and you know exactly where it comes from.
And what about the different types then within olive oil itself, say if it's extra virgin or refined or just regular olive oil or whatever?
Yeah, there's about eight different types, or nine if you look into it, starting with the purest, which is your extra virgin olive oil. This is your beautiful one that you're going to use for your salad dressings, for finishing your dishes. Then you've got what they're calling kind of pure olive oil, which is available in supermarkets. Slightly maybe lesser quality, less peppery, less hot, less interesting, less nuanced in terms of the flavours that it has, but perfect for roasting, for cooking with. And then you go all the way down to kind of pomace, which is, it can be used in anything from making soap. Some of it is not edible. So you go down the whole list of the grades of all of the different olive oils.
And in terms of production, all of that kind of, that differentiation, that happens in kind of, I guess, post-production, if you call it. call it that?
Yeah, so they're harvested, their defoliation takes place, there's a cleaning, a crushing, malaxation, which is kind of this agitation, the kneading, so they turn into almost like a pulp, and then they're squeezed. This is where the so it's cold pressing, so no heat is involved. And that's really, really important. A lot of the olive oil has polyphenols. So polyphenols, from that kind of health benefit, are the anti-inflammatory. So that's what makes it be so good for our health. Things like those little polyphenols, they're
and
really
they're not
heat
in
sensitive.
The other oils necessarily.
They can, they're not in like things like a vegetable oil.
Oh, right, okay, you know.
So they're not in those. So it's the extra virgin olive oil is really where you're seeing the prominence of them and the most of them, I suppose. So they're trying to, yeah, I suppose it's that purity of the process, that cold pressing that they're doing. That's what keeps it be really, really pure extra virgin olive oil.
Is it good for us?
It's excellent for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Mediterranean, it's the staple, isn't it, of the Mediterranean diet. Like, it's one of my top five foods. I love it for the versatility of it, for the flavour of it. But I suppose when we look at it from those anti-inflammatory, the polyphenols, that's what's really good for our heart health.
So are we going to, you've got food in as always, are we going to do the food first or taste the olive oil raw first?
We're going to taste the olive oil raw
first. We're going to raw dog it.
Yeah, we're going to do it. So if you're shopping for it, some of the things you're going to notice, dark glass bottles, okay? Keep it away from sunlight, keep it away from the heat.
Okay.
I'm going to hang on now. I've got to start you with a very specific one. Hoji Blanca.
All right, okay.
So this is a Spanish olive oil. So I suppose before we start the tasting, right, you taste olive oil a little bit like you taste wine. So before you launch into it now, right?
Right.
There's something called strippaggio, which means stripping.
All right, okay.
So you're going to put it in your mouth.
Strip it this time every Friday. Go.
Hold it in the front of your mouth and a little bit like they do with wine, with that aeration. Suck in the air.
All right.
And then the olive oil goes all around your palate, all around your mouth.
Okay, I'm going to try this one.
And then you're going to taste it and you're going to tell me what you get. It's strong. I wasn't expecting that to happen. Can I tell you what caused that?
I think some of it is in my lungs.
That's the polyphenols. So if there's a high concentration of polyphenols, it makes you cough.
Okay.
That's so funny that it actually happened to you. I did not think that was going to happen.
Not sure how much I actually tasted
there.
Taste
a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
This is actually a slightly milder one, okay? So Hoji Blanca. So it's a Spanish olive oil.
There's a bit of heat in that, isn't there?
There is a little bit of heat. But that's actually one of the milder ones. So it's a little bit, I suppose some of the notes we talk about are kind of nutty notes, like walnut, almond, there's artichoke, tomato plant, there's herbs, there's leaves, there's kind of grass, there's freshness. I'm going to move you on to the next one, which is Piculo.
Okay.
Which is another Spanish olive oil. Now, this one's bigger in flavour. Okay, so we started at a milder one. So this is a real finishing olive oil.
Yeah.
Get the heat? A bit more pepper in it? No?
Not really.
Did you not?
No, I didn't, actually. I thought there was more heat in the first one.
Here, let me taste.
A little bit. You know, my mouth is coated in olive oil.
Yeah, I know. That is from the problem.
There's heat in that one now, isn't there? Am I not getting that? I'm doing that the wrong way around. Maybe.
No, at the back of your mouth. Yeah, you do get it.
Yeah, there is.
It is at the back of your mouth. Yeah, you know, you do, you do, you do.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm going to taste next. So the last one that you're tasting is an Italian one.
Yeah, what do you think now of that one? The second one?
Yeah.
Yeah, not as hot as
No, it's not.
Right, so this is...
slightly more prolonged heat, but not that burst of intensity when you taste it.
Julian Extra Olive Oil.
Yes, so this is... So this one is actually from Aldi. And it got rated. So you can go online and there's all of these different ratings for
Aldi.
Mad
that Aldi put stickers with Lidl written on the back on their
bottles. That's a Lidl. It's a Lidl one, not an Aldi one. I'm glad you fixed that one for me. This is an Italian one. So it's Castel del Monte. It's light. It's clean. It's fresh. It has a little bit of that peppery bite, but it has that fruitiness. And I suppose that's what you're expecting from olive oil. It's the fruitiness with the little bit of pepperiness.
Yeah, that's nice now.
It is lovely, which is really nice. And it's a really nice rounded one. So I'm going to start you on some recipes, okay?
Okay.
This is, actually pass it over to me.
Ooh,
just, you know what, you don't even almost need it. But this is an olive oil dip, okay? Specifically kind of for bread. So I'm going to tell you what's in it. You start with your really lovely olive oil of choice. And again, an extra virgin olive oil, a good one. I have some lovely bread for you to dip in as well.
Lovely.
Isn't it beautiful? This was a really big kind of Instagram trend. It kind of kicked off last Christmas. You've got chili flakes, you've got oregano, you've got fresh grated garlic, rosemary, parsley, Parmesan cheese, and then you've got your olive oil. You just
right. Everyone has that in the fridge.
That's it.
All of it.
That's all it is. It's so cheap to make, but it's so impactful. So I think if you had people coming around, a couple of drinks, and you wanted to like just have something in the middle with a bit of bread that's not hummus or not pesto, it is cracking. Mm.
That is really good.
It's addictive, isn't it? It's beautiful. Now, what I love to put in as a little extra twist is a couple of little capers or a couple of little anchovies. And they're delicious. And if you warm it up after you put the anchovies ever so slightly, it is just delicious.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. And like I said, it's not cooking. It's just mixing a few basic ingredients together. You can put as little or as much chili flake as you want in. But like I said, it's that chili flake with the oregano with the garlic. And garlic and olive oil, I mean, they're just the most classic, beautiful pairing. They're really, really lovely.
That is delicious. And look, like I'll say at the end, I'll remind you, but as always, the detail of this will be on Aisling's different social media channels. So where to next?
Aglio e olio.
I don't know what that means.
Garlic and olive oil. That's all it is.
Really?
So this is spaghetti. So it's an absolutely classic dish. I remember I had this first when we were in Ios in Greece, like island hopping. We're about 19 years old. There was this rooftop little restaurant we used to go to. We didn't know how good we had it sometimes, you know, until it was gone.
Yeah.
And we used to go for this dish. And it was so simple, but it was absolutely lovely. There's a couple of tricks to doing this well, because it's just pure simplicity. Isn't it lovely?
Lovely.
It's so simple, but it's allowing the quality of the ingredients to shine. So it's using a really good olive oil in the pan, like lots of it. Like for one person, you're talking probably 3 tablespoons of olive oil, about 4 cloves of garlic, low and slow. Let that garlic, you're almost letting it like poach in the oil as opposed to fry it. Release all the oils out of it. Cook your pasta. As your pasta is almost cooked at maybe like 9 or 10 minutes, take a mug of hot pasta water.
Yeah.
Take that out, reserve it. Then put your pasta into your olive oil and your garlic. Put that pasta water in. Stir, 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 stir.
Yeah.
The starch from the pasta water hits with the olive oil. It emulsifies. It creates this beautiful glossy glaze of this garlicky olive oily sauce that goes with it. Parmesan cheese, fresh parsley, and that's it. You can put chili flakes, but I actually made it like a couple of days ago with the chili flakes, and I personally didn't love it with the chili flakes.
You know what? It's delicious. It's so light. You can have that. You can have that like in the summer with a summer salad. Even it's so light.
That's it. That's it. Something like a little bit of fennel, a little DKO, a little bit of orange. Like you could go mad kind of with your salad on the side. But even a simple salad, little bit of a dressing on the side, and it's just. I suppose it's the simplicity, and it stretches back to that thing of you can have a really fantastic dinner for one or for four. On the table in genuinely under 10 minutes with a dish like that. And you feel like you're getting so much comfort and deliciousness from it because it's just, it's really, really lovely.
It is delicious.
Do you have time for dessert?
Ah, sure. I always have a bit of time for dessert. Bit of chocolate mousse.
Chocolate
now, how's there olive oil in my chocolate mousse?
There's olive oil in your chocolate mousse. Now, I'm going to let you taste it first, right? On its own. And then we're going to go. So this is, I love this chocolate mousse. It's dark chocolate. So it's 70, you can go anywhere from 70 to 80% chocolate, right?
That's nice.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah.
Dairy free. So there's no cream in this one. So it's your melted dark chocolate. So there's about 200 grams of dark chocolate.
Yeah.
There's about 80 mils of milk. So you just warm your milk really gently, put the milk into the melted dark chocolate, whisk up your egg whites till they're like almost like, you know, big and fluffy like a meringue. Stir those through, tiny bit, 30 grams of sugar to make like 4 of these. But you're putting in your olive oil. So you've got 50 mils of olive oil in there. And then you finish it with a little bit of olive oil on top. So I wanted you to taste it first. And then you can see what you think. Because sometimes you need the olive oil on top and sometimes you don't. You don't taste it a huge amount when it's not in there. But on top, it's kind of a... And it can either be a nice combination or a not nice combination. You're fine without it.
I think I go without the olive oil.
You're fine without the olive oil.
Yeah.
But it's in it, which is really, really nice. Yeah. And it adds a richness to it. We're going to finish...
A second dessert.
2 desserts in one day. Ah, it's nearly the weekend. It's nearly the weekend.
True.
This is a gelato. So this is a gelato from Northern Italy. It's made with egg yolks and it's made with cream and it's made with milk.
And you've just put olive oil on it.
And I've just put olive oil on it. And now I'm putting some Irish sea salt on top as well.
I don't mind a bit of salt in my ice cream, but I'm not sure about this now,
Taste it like this first at the top.
Know?
And then in a minute, if you're not loving like the first spoonful, stir it around and then come back and taste it the second time.
Yeah.
No, I can tell by your face. That's not for you now at all. And that's okay. It's a massive trend at the moment.
Is it?
Yeah, it would hit.
Putting olive oil in your...
in your ice cream, yeah. Was it like Dua Lipa or somebody made it like super, super famous and then it was everywhere on TikTok.
Ashley, if Dua Lipa walked off a cliff, would you walk off a cliff, as my mother would have said to me?
I would not.
When I was younger.
But there's definitely, it became a massive trend and a really big foodie aficionado trend, you know, where it was like, if you want to enjoy. And look, I went and found some of the finest Italian ice cream because I think you do have to
eat it. The ice cream is delicious. I love ice cream.
So do I.
I know. Ice cream.
That and that's not even a vanilla ice cream. It's just like literally a crema gelato.
Oh, so good.
Did you stir in the bit of olive oil?
I did. I don't notice it's there anymore.
The idea is, I suppose, that it's adding this layer of buttery richness to the ice cream and it kind of, isn't it? It's like delicious ice cream. Yeah. And it brings it to the next level. And then that little pop of salt. So I suppose it's making something creamy and delicious, a little bit interesting with a punch of pepperiness or floralness, and then you've got the hit of salt.
I always ask for bowls of ice cream for dessert, even when they're not in the menu.
Do you?
In restaurants, yeah. I'm one of those people.
And are you fussy about like good ice cream?
No, just whatever. If they come out and they'll be like, you know, some kind of artisan dessert or whatever, I'll say, can I just get a bowl of just whatever ice creams you have in there?
And the pastry chef inside is dying inside because you just want your ice cream.
Just want a bowl of ice cream. You always get 4 or 5 scoops.
I love
delicious.
Ice cream. I love
so
ice cream.
Good. Can't be.
Try and eat good ice cream, Anne. There's nothing better in the world. Yeah, it's amazing.
That is all amazing stuff. Except the olive oil and the chocolate mousse. Sorry, Ashley, not for me. But anyway, the rest of it was absolutely delicious. You know what the real standout was? That dip.
Yeah, the bread.
Because then as well, it's just all the stuff you mentioned. I was thinking, as you were going through it, I thought, that's in the press, that's in the press, that's in the press. Everybody has all of that. So if you missed exactly what Ashley said, all the details up online at Ashling Lark on different social channels. You'll find her there. It is just about time for the weekend, as you said. After the weekend, what are you doing Tuesday and Wednesday?
Ooh.
The rest of us are in America, of course.
Yes.
Covering the US elections.
I would love to be in America. But second to that, I am in Crook Park Hotel for a really, really cool event. So it's Food Matters Live. It's been in Ascot. It's been in the UK. It's the first time it's coming to Ireland. And it's a really big, I suppose, industry food conference for 2 days where we're talking about innovations in food, food and wellness, sustainability. So I'm a panelist, keynote speaker, all of that good stuff at that. So it's like there's 80 speakers, really, really cool industry people going to be at it. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Good stuff. Enjoy it, Aisling. And we will talk to you again at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.